Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
There are stories we tell to pass the time, and then there are the ones we tell to remember. Welcome to 13 Nights in Macabre, a limited series presented by Macabre Mondays. This October, we'll share with you a single tale, told in 13 parts. A story once whispered in dark halls of an old house on the edge of nowhere. Some say it was built to keep people out. Others believe it was meant to keep something in. Tonight, we begin the story that was never meant to be told again. This is Threshold.
Chapter 1. The Showing. I get the alarm code wrong the first time. The keypad blinks red at me, a patient little heartbeat. And the house waits. I apologize to it under my breath, like you do when you bump into a chair in the dark, and try again. Second attempt, green light. The front door unlatches with a soft, damp click. I step into air that smells like old lavender and a basement you haven't visited in years. It's the kind of smell that makes your eyes water for no reason.
Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets macabre.
I pause the podcast I was playing, because now I'm in work mode. House showing field note, I murmur, phone in my pocket recording. Arrived at the Morrow property, 9:47 p.m. Power's on, lights, we'll see. The entryway opens into a long, narrow hallway, the kind that makes you walk a little quieter without being told. On the right, a procession of frames, families, birthdays, school pictures, some black and white, some sun-faded, all a little crooked, as if the house moved around them and forgot to nudge them straight again. On the left, paneled wall. At the far end, a door painted the color of a fresh bruise left out in the cold. No knob, though. Just a keyhole that looks too small to be useful. I reach for the switch. The bulb overhead flickers to life, sour and unreliable, painting the hall in the same bruised purple as the door. The light trembles, so do the frames. Okay, I say. The way you say to a skittish dog, it's just me. I know what you're thinking. You didn't even know a state house cataloger was a real job. Trust me, I didn't either. But it is, and I love being alone, so it's perfect for me. The realtor called this an after-hours inventory. The family who owned the place is gone, moved out quick, and the estate firm wants a list of anything notable. I do these gigs sometimes, quiet houses, late nights, a flashlight and a thermos, and the feeling that if a story is still echoing in a room, it will tell you, eventually. My shoes whisper on the runner as I walk down the hall. The faces and the frames don't watch me, but the glass does. A girl with blunt bangs and a birthday cupcake pauses mid-wish. A boy with sticking out ears wears a paper crown that's slipping off. A mother at a wedding twists her ring with a smile too tight. Each frame is tilted, some a little left, some a little right, not one perfectly straight. It bothers me in a way I don't admit to anyone. I start fixing them as I go, Tap the bottom, tug the top, align the edges with the wainscoting.
I'll make you neat,
I say.
It helps.
Halfway down, there's a scuff on the paint at hip level. Several, actually. Parallel lines like something pressed hard against the wall and slid. A dolly, maybe? Or fingernails? The runner's fibers are flattened there. I kneel. The carpet smells like dust, and something sweeter that's long turned. My phone buzzes. A voicemail from the realtor.
Power's a little temperamental. Don't worry if the upstairs lights strobe, but also, there's this red door at the end of the hall that the last owner painted herself. Kids called it, the stop sign? Ugh, harmless. Do not attempt to open, though. Old wood, sticks, insurance, blah blah. Regardless, call me if you have any questions.
The voicemail ends. I look up at the door. It isn't a cheerful red. And this light, it has a blue undertone. Like it was painted over something darker and didn't quite win.
Harmless.
I repeat it softly. And the word doesn't fit in my mouth. Something subtle is wrong about the perspective back there. The hall feels a breath narrower than it did near the entry. My shoulders straighten without my permission, just in case. I tuck a loose strand of hair behind my ear and keep moving. I pass a frame of a school portrait. Third grade, gap-tooth grin, the gray-mottled backdrop everyone gets. The brass plate reads Lydia. Someone has wiped the glass clean recently, though, leaving little half-moons at the corners. I keep going. Another frame, Carlos. Another, Miriam. Then, a cluster, smaller, almost like a shrine, but not quite. The frames here are more crooked than the others, as if they were knocked and never corrected. I straighten one. The nail catches, squeals softly. The sound travels down the hall like a whisper in a bottle. Ooh, sorry. I tell the house again.
I'm a guest.
At the end of the runner, the floorboards change tone. Slightly lower. A deeper thunk under my weight. The red door takes up more space than a door should. There's no knob or plate, just a narrow keyhole. A slash of darkness with a brass rim polished by 1,000 curious fingers. I lean close. The paint is smoother. Brush marks visible like someone rushed the final coat and didn't expect anyone to bend in this far. That's when I feel it. The tiniest exhale, cool and damp, leaking from the keyhole across my lips. I pull back so fast my shoulders hits a frame. It tilts right, then back, then settles dead center, as if it changed its mind. Something in my chest tries to run, and doesn't. I laugh once, too loud in the narrow space. Oh, drafts, I tell the recorder. My voice sounds steady enough to earn my own trust. I click the recorder off. I slide the phone into my back pocket.
House, house,
I say softer.
What do you want me to see?
The overhead bulb hums. Far back by the entry, the thermostat clicks. Pipes think about waking. I reach into my tote for the small pen light I use for reading serial numbers. The beam makes a slender, obedient tunnel in the dim. When I sweep it over the frames again, one is no longer a child's portrait at all. It's the hallway. This hallway, exact. Only empty. The angle matches where I'm standing. But I'm not in it. The red door is at the end, closed. In the glass, there's the suggestion of purple light. The picture isn't a photo. It's like I'm looking through a window a fraction of a second out of time. I lower the light, breathe, raise it again. Now the frame shows a family at Christmas. The switch was so smooth, I'd accuse myself of blinking if my eyes didn't burn.
Okay,
I whisper. I go to straighten that frame, compulsion or comfort, I don't know, and notice the small, penciled letters on the raw wood where the backing meets the edge.
Rule 7. Quiet hands.
My mouth goes dry. I check the next frame's edge.
Rule 1. Ask the hall.
Another.
Rule 4. Don't turn around in the dark.
The handwriting is neat, small even. Someone wrote directly on the frames, like labels for a game only the house knows how to play.
A sound interrupts my inventory brain. Soft, specific. Three knocks on wood. I freeze. The noise didn't come from the front door. It came from right in front of me, polite as a librarian asking for a returned book. I turn the pen light to the red door. Not hard, not threatening, almost waiting. Somebody used to live in me who loved rules, I think. She'd want to know which rule covers knocking back. I lift my knuckles, and before I can talk myself out of it, I answer. Silence rides the air like frost. Behind me, every frame on the wall taps once. Tiny, perfect. A chorus of little nails clicking under glass. I stand very still. The pen light trembles just enough to make the beam shiver across the keyhole. A cool breath reaches me again, deliberate this time. And in that breath, like it's using the shape of my own mouth to make the sound, a voice no bigger than a whisper says my childhood name. Sunshine.
The house has rules, and by now, Sunshine has already broken half of them. Tomorrow night, we'll return to the Morrow House, where the walls keep secrets, and the mirrors might not be looking at you, but for you. Join us again for night two of 13 Nights of Macabre.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.